Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 and FY 2022 earnings conference call of Tanmurcia Finvest Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Sonpal of Valorem Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and a very warm welcome to you all. My name is Anuj Sonpal from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Tanmurcia Finvest Limited. On behalf of the company, I'd like to thank you all for participating in the earnings conference call for the fourth quarter and financial year ended 2022 of the company. Before we begin, I'd like to mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's con call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Now, let me introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call and hand it over to them for opening remarks. We have with us Mr. Rohanji Juneja, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Karan Desai, Whole-time Director and Chief Business Officer, and Mr. Sanjay Kukreja, Chief Financial Officer. Now, without any further delay, I request Mr. Rohanji Juneja to start with his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Anuj. Welcome to our fiscal 2022 earnings call. We are pleased to announce strong pre-tax earnings of $32.6 million for the quarter and $106.7 million for the full year fiscal 2022. This translates to earnings growth of 976% year-over-year with a 3.6% ROA. Disbursements were $4.2 billion for the year, up from $870 million a year ago, led by MSME gold and business loans backed by a first loss default guarantee. With substantially higher disbursements, revenues were up 187% year-over-year to $701 million, up from $244 million in the previous year. This was led by very strong interest income growth, up 272% year-over-year to $455 million from $122 million in fiscal 2021. While our loan book has risen by almost three times over the last 1 year to $3.06 billion, more importantly, the customer count has increased by almost six times to 33,427 customers. Today, that number is up to almost 42,000 borrowers. The product composition of our loan book today is 49% in MSME business loans, 40% in gold loans, 6% in loans against property, which is in runoff mode, and 5% in personal loans. Going forward, the focus of the company will be in MSME business and gold loans driven by strong tech distribution and lending as a service for large financiers, which is tremendously profitable and capital efficient for Tanmurcia's balance sheet. On the last call, we spelled out three large strategic initiatives that a company is pursuing with increasing vigor as we move towards our target of acquiring over 1 million customers over the next 3 years. The first one being lending as a service, which today is more than 4% of total AUM, up from zero in fiscal 2021. Lending as a service is where a large lender is the majority capital provider, while Tanmurcia is a minority capital provider of between 5 to 20%, while we do the entire sourcing, servicing and collections on those loans. It's a higher IRR product and a lot more capital efficient. Going forward, we expect lending as a service to be almost 10% of AUM, if not more, in this coming year itself. This will be led by expansion of our relationship with Central Bank of India, which until March 2022 was confined to the state of Madhya Pradesh. Recently, this partnership has been extended to Maharashtra and Delhi NCR with almost all of our 48 branches. This is extremely pertinent in today's times given a rising rate environment and the fact that capital may likely become harder to source for almost all entities. Enhanced volume in lending as a service with larger lenders should lead to NIM expansion given capital efficiency of the product. In that context, we are particularly pleased that the company has also successfully completed the infusion of 340 million rupees in early May, led by Aviator Emerging Market Fund, along with the promoter group and key management. We will be getting an additional infusion of 280 million rupees for conversion of warrants into equity shares over the next 1 year. With the combined infusion, our net worth will be about 2.4 billion rupees with a debt to equity of 1.2x and capital adequacy of close to 60%, providing substantial headroom for growth. On our cost of debt, refinancing of almost 735 million rupees or almost 26% of our total debt outstanding today over the next 18 months, combined with our recent equity raise, should hopefully lead to a reduction in funding cost despite a higher rate environment. Furthermore, conversion of CCDs into equity shares in October 2022 will also lead to a reduction in interest expense of almost 310 million rupees in this fiscal year itself. Now on the second large strategic objective that we discussed, which is the substantial scale-up in digital muscle. This, we believe, will be a game-changer for us in the MSME space, where we expect substantial customer acquisition and data intelligence in future periods. In the last year, we have deployed a fully integrated loan origination and management system, FinFlux. This newly integrated LOMS has customizable workflows for different products and has an open architecture for any third-party API integrations. The LOMS also has an automated credit decisioning mechanism which runs multiple business rule engines simultaneously to provide final eligibility for the borrower. This has helped us move from a subjective to an objective approach in underwriting with a final overlay of human assessment. FinFlux, with the help of Dhansetu, which is our B2B channel partner platform, has a mechanism of pre-qualification that ensures junk leads are weeded out of the system at an initial stage, thereby enhancing productivity and turnaround time. System-based offers, pricing grids, delegation of authority, and deviation metrics are inbuilt for smooth and accurate decisioning. FinFlux is helping us achieve complete digitization of document collection, including KYC, e-agreements, and e-NACH. It also helps us leverage various digital platforms and partnerships to enhance Dhanvarsha's product positioning so we can process substantially higher volumes, increase productivity materially, and reduce overall turnaround time for the borrower. With this fully integrated LOMS, along with the fact that we have a sizable count of customers that have been underwritten over the last 4 years, the idea is to create a framework that helps us learn from our existing as well as past portfolio performance to inculcate those learnings in products offered to onboard new customers. The objective is to create customized policies depending upon the strengths of the applying customer cohort rather than a unified treatment for all segments. This project involves identifying critical credit parameters, running performance on those critical parameters, and then planting those learnings to develop a credit risk score, which will be unique for every new customer cohort segment. The system-generated risk score for cohorts will define the eligibility as well as the commercials to be offered to them. The risk score will be revised at the end of every month depending on the latest performance of portfolio across the critical parameters and will apply to all customers onboarded in the subsequent month. It will be a dynamic system that will give us robust early warning signals, thus helping us to add a layer of learn between lend and collect. In the last quarter, we also launched our digital asset Money Rabbit, which has so far seen over 250,000 downloads. As you know, Money Rabbit is not just a micro-lending app, but an omni-channel embedded finance platform providing credit, health, and financial wellness for MSME and blue-collar workers, along with the ability to borrow, pay, invest, and save all from one app. We have taken a proactive approach and lent an extremely modest amount from MoneyRabbit so far, since there was a report by the working group constituted by RBI a few months ago to study the current market scenarios in the field of digital lending. The group has proposed some potential measures that RBI can implement to appropriately regulate this field. We are awaiting final guidelines from RBI before we start to actively lend on the MoneyRabbit platform. As you can recall, in the initial phase, our plan in MoneyRabbit was to do the majority of lending through a B2B2C approach with large partners as anchors to minimize risk and cost of customer acquisition. While Dhanvarsha will be the initial sponsor lending on the MoneyRabbit platform, the idea is to open MoneyRabbit into a marketplace where many other sponsors can lend based on their risk appetite. Now on to the third large strategic objective on risk. Gross NPAs were 3.02% in the quarter versus 4.25% a year ago. It is noteworthy that in our gross NPA pool of 3.02%, 55% of those NPAs come from 9 LAP loans that were originated from September 2017 until September 2018. This LAP pool today is down to 6% of the total portfolio balance of 3.06 billion rupees. Of these 9 LAP loans in NPA bucket, we have reached a resolution on 3 of these loans and are confident of closing another 3 LAP NPA accounts for a total of 6 of these 9 NPA accounts, or between 65 to 75% of LAP NPAs to be closed by March 2023. If we exclude these LAP loans from the NPA mix, gross NPAs would have been 1.35% versus the actual 3.02% reported number. In recent quarters, we have also introduced several additional risk governance and policy measures to further monitor credit risks at the entity level, covering credit, liquidity, solvency, information security, and financial risks. Rigorous reviews of infant and non-starter portfolio, including revised allocation of such infant cases to sales and credit, as opposed to earlier only with the collections team. These reviews have resulted in approximately 90%+ resolution in the previous quarter. In terms of audit controls, with an objective to assess branch performance and internal controls, the audit team has designed and implemented a branch charter and branch scorecard, which is a measuring, scoring, and rating mechanism to give regular feedback to the field sales team on branch operations and functioning. This scorecard includes various risk and performance indicators against which branch performance and adherence towards RBI, regulatory, and company policies and processes are evaluated. It also examines the effectiveness and efficiency of internal controls. Essentially, this is a system that can provide reasonable assurance regarding branch-level risk management. Lastly, the risk team, along with management, also monitors business unit and branch-level profitability on a monthly basis for efficient capital allocation. With that, we will open the floor up for questions.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Devarsh Mehta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. Congratulations to the management on a great set of numbers. So we have seen a very good growth this year. So what is your expectation on disbursement growth in FY23 considering the rising interest rate scenario?
So we would not like to give any formal guidance on disbursements, but the first 2 months of the year have started off well for us. Going forward, we expect to write a good amount of volume in the lending as a service product, which is the co-lending relationship that we have with Central Bank of India, which is an 80-20 relationship. So, you know, we've seen good growth over the last 3 years. We expect that to continue, but don't want to give out a formal number on disbursement guidance.
Fair enough. Could you, so my second question would be on, could you comment on the quality of loan book considering this growth in your loan book? Is there a high chance of default in the coming quarters?
So, interestingly, if you look at our growth over the last 2 years, on an incremental basis, 79% of disbursements of the growth that we have seen from fiscal 20 March onwards has been in the gold loan and MSME business loan product that is guaranteed by a first loss from preferred sourcing partners. So the quality on that book has been very good. To reiterate, again, if you look at our NPA bucket as well of the 3.02%, roughly 55% come from just 9 loans that were legacy LAP loans written in our first year of business until September 2018, post which IL&F has happened. So we have reached resolution on a good amount of those loans as well. And the incremental performance on the loan book from March 2020 has actually been spectacular.
Correct, correct. Okay. So the last quarter we saw an increase in the interest income and fee income was less than third quarter. So can you please explain the reason behind it?
Sorry, can you repeat your question again, please?
Last quarter, there was an increase in the interest income and the fee income was less than the third quarter. So
interest income has been growing as obviously we've been disbursing more and more on a monthly basis as disbursement volume picks up for us. So that is but natural that interest income will pick up, which we expect will continue in going forward quarters as well. Fee income came down because now we are syndicating less and less business to other financiers as we are underwriting more on our own balance sheet.
Got it. Okay. Okay, my final question would be on the gold loan side. So, which are the states that are contributing highest to our books currently? And what is the competitive environment in these areas against the biggies in the sector? Yeah.
Sure. So, the states that we are present in are Maharashtra, the Delhi NCR / Haryana region, and in Madhya Pradesh. At this point in time, in order of largest contribution, it is Maharashtra, Delhi NCR, and then Madhya Pradesh. We are up to 48 branches now, which we expect to go up to about 59 in the next 2 months. So Madhya Pradesh will start contributing also a lot, and we expect Maharashtra, Madhya Pradesh, and then NCR, Delhi NCR, to be the largest contributors for us.
Okay. That's all from my side for now. If I have any questions, I'll come back in the queue. Congratulations once again. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vinod from VMware. Please go ahead.
Hi. Congratulations on the company performance. So I just wanted to understand what the current mix of loan origination was across like the different sources. So for instance, from branches, partners, and digital FM.
Sure. So the majority of the business that was originated was from our branches. The balance 22% was from partners that are preferred sourcing partners that do provide us a first loss default guarantee, and about 20% of the business was originated through DSAs.
Sorry, I didn't catch that last.
59% from our branches, 57% from the branches, 22% from partners who provide us a first loss default guarantee, and the balance 21% comes from DSAs.
Got it. So have there been any dispersals from MoneyRabbit and Dunsetu?
Yeah, so there have been very small amount of dispersals from MoneyRabbit. In quantum, it is less than 21 lakhs, and Dunsetu went live just last week. So we have started dispersing from that platform as well. That's a B2B channel partner platform.
Okay, and because this is very live, I'm guessing the numbers over here are quite small as well.
So Dhanketu, we will start seeing more and more traction on numbers. We would not like to disclose what numbers they are right now. Obviously, they are small, but we expect that to continue. On a day-to-day basis, we have seen traction. As I mentioned, we only launched it last week.
Got it. Understand. Yeah, that's it from me, and thanks again for the time.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vineet Mishra, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. So I just have one question. Can you please explain the co-lending partnership? So what is the loan to loss in case of any default there?
You're talking about the relationship that we have with Central Bank of India?
Yeah, Central Bank and EZ Capital. So what is the loan to loss in case of any default in that particular
sure.
site?
Sure. So with Central Bank of India, it's an 80-20 relationship. They provide 80% of the capital. We provide 20%. These are in MSME gold loans. Since they are fully secured, what happens if a loan becomes 90-plus day DPD, which means it goes into the NPA bucket, we have 180 days post that to recover or replace that loan amount to Central Bank of India. And because these are gold loans, usually after 91 days of them being DPD, they usually get auctioned between day 91 to day 120. So far, we've had no NPAs in that relationship with Central Bank of India. If there were to be an NPA, we would auction off the gold and pay back the loan amount to Central Bank of India. So it's a recover or replace as it's worded in the contract.
Okay. And so who has the final right to authorize the loan here?
So it's a co-lending agreement, which means it's a joint credit underwriting model under the RBI guidelines, which is model one under the co-lending agreement model. Joint agreement, what we do is we underwrite the loan, do the appraisal of the gold and all the collateral, and then they send us an external valuer who comes at the end of the day to the branch to again evaluate the gold, and the loan gets dispersed.
Okay, so can you please explain the underwriting process here? I was not very clear on that side.
So the underwriting process has been agreed on prior to the relationship being cemented on paper. So the entire process of how the gold gets evaluated, what percentage of LTV gets given, etc., is decided jointly. We appraise the gold. We give the loan to the customer. At the end of the day, there's an external valuer who is appointed by Central Bank of India that comes into our branch, appraises the gold, gives a final go-ahead, post which Central Bank of India gives us the money of their 80% contribution in the escrow account.
Okay, okay, got it. Thank you so much. I'll get back in the queue if I have any more questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Kevin Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. So actually my question is, can you give us a breakup on the lending portfolio? Like, what is the direct lending versus what is the co-lending part?
So today, 97% of the portfolio is direct lending and 3% is on the co-lending part that we have with Central Bank of India.
Okay. So my next question is regarding to the loan-to-value ratio. What is the loan to value ratio of each of the categories in which we deal? That is like gold loans, MSME business loans, etc. things.
So on the gold loan, the average LTV is about 70 to 71%. On the business loan, obviously these are cash flow based underwriting, so there's no LTV as such. What we do on the unsecured business loan is we take a co-applicant on the loan structure. The co-applicant must own a piece of property. So the LTV over there would usually be between 60 to 65 or 70%.
Okay. Okay. And last one more question. So currently as we have raised equity and warrants and other things, so what is the target debt to equity ratio that we are targeting? And moreover, do we plan further equity raising?
Yes, so the debt to equity post the warrant money coming in as well would be 1 to 2x. Our plan is to lever the balance sheet to about 2x. And yes, our endeavor is that by the end of this fiscal year itself is to at least have an announcement of an equity raise with a potential institutional fund that comes in. Whether that gets concluded in this fiscal year or not, we'll have to wait and watch. But our goal is to at least cement that with an institutional investor by the end of this fiscal year. So we would like to have one more round of equity raise in this fiscal year itself. The idea behind doing that is then we will not have to worry about equity capital, and we always like to run a fairly unlevered balance sheet like we've done in the last 4 years. And in that way, we can cement our growth plan for the next 2 years as well without having to worry about any kind of exogenous events in the market.
Got your point, sir. Okay, thank you so much. I rest my questions over here.
Thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Vishal Kutari from Paras. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yes. Congratulations. Hello.
Yes, Vishal. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Congratulations for a wonderful presentation. Everything looks very, everything is very nice and we have disbursements, excellent disbursements, total revenue is gone high, customer count also increased, net profit before tax is also very good. But why the share prices are going down?
So with all due respect, our focus is predominantly on the business. We would not, you know, have a good idea on or would like to comment on the share price. Our focus is on the business. We want the business to continue to do well, which it is at this point in time. That's all we can say. The share price, in all reality, is not in our control. So what we have control over is the business. We have institutionalized the entire business, professionalized the entire business. Our branch count has gone up significantly in the last 2 years. So if you look at all the traction that the business has gotten in 2 years from going in March 2020 from 36.7 crores to 306 crores in 2 years, from 403 customers to over 33,000 customers, net worth from 30 crores to 240 crores and, you know, one lender to 29 lenders. That's, you know, something that we strive for and work towards. The share price in all reality, you know, we have little control over.
Okay. Anyway, thank you for the wonderful presentation and thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Once again, a reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Once again, a reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Vineet Mishra, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Average ticket size from the offline model, that is specifically from financial inclusion store. What is the average ticket size there?
So there the average ticket size is between 2 to 2.5 lakhs, and those are largely, you know, smaller ticket business and personal loans. That's where we are, and but the financial inclusion stores are not as much of a big focus for us, given the fact that we are increasing our own branch count, where the quality of underwriting and collections is much better.
Okay, and so when we're looking at the overall AUM, 87% of our book is backed by secured assets, right?
So either by a first loss default guarantee, by LAP loans, or by gold loans, correct?
Okay, so you might explain the process of FLDG partners from the regulated space. What's the process of selection of FLDG partners from here?
Yeah, so with the FLDG partners, our credit committee does a very thorough evaluation of all the partners that want to tie up with us, that do the sourcing and the servicing for us. So the credit committee, once they approve it based on several parameters, which is fairly exhaustive, which includes the net worth of the company, their processes, systems, the way they underwrite, the way they collect, what kind of a team do they have, what's the pedigree, the board of the company, etc. Once the credit committee approves it, it then is a board decision to decide whether we go ahead with the partner or not. And obviously what plays an important role besides the entire process and systems and capability of the partner and the ability for them to source loans in a particular sector or in a particular geography that is fairly attractive towards us is what kind of commercials do we agree with them on.
Okay, so and what's your view on the FLDG agreement going forward? As you know, there are some news that RBI may put restriction on it.
We do not do any FLDG agreement with a non-regulated entity. So if you read through the comments on the RBI as well, as long as it's a regulated entity, so most of our partners, if not all our partners, are NBFCs. So they're all regulated entities.
Okay. And so yes, that was it for my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Karan Bhanushali, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
That was a good presentation. Thank you. My question just got answered in the last.
Thank you, Karan.
Again, as a reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Once again, a reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Once again, a reminder to all participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Rohanjeet Juneja from Tanmarsha Finvest Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you, everyone, for joining the call. Have a good day, and I look forward to hosting you all on the next earnings call. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Tanmarsha Finvest Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.